is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Welcome to News.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, natural medicine, herbal medicine, nutrition, and Ayurveda. She's a scientist, professional speaker, and the author of over 20 books. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here to help you achieve complete optimum health. Please welcome Dr. Holly back to News for the Soul.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday the 10th, and I hope you're having a good day. As usual, we're going to start off with a little bit on gardening. Last week, we just started on sprouts that you could be doing during the wintertime, but you can also be doing microgreens, a little bit different than sprouts. Sprouts you tend to put in a jar. You flush them with water. Actually, you soak them in water to begin with, either 2 hours, usually 2 or 4 hours, depending on the size of the seed. Small seeds, 2 hours, large, 4 hours. And then you have lots of holes in the top. So you can get special tops for jars with that, or you can just make your own with lots of little holes. So you can turn them upside down, drain the water out, and then redo that again in the evening. You do that every day, morning and night, and voila, in a couple of days, you've got lots of sprouts. Microgreens are a little different. Microgreens you actually put in soil as opposed to just flushing them with water. Again, you can grow them all winter long. You can get, if you have narrow windowsills, I have really wide windowsills, but if you have the narrow windowsills, you can get long, narrow trays. You just need, like, not even an inch of soil. And I use a great big trays. I think my trays are like, I don't know, 12 inches by 24 inches, something like that. And I just spread seeding soil or microgreen soil. You can use composting. You can use, as long as it's a very, very rich soil, they grow better that way. Put, like I say, just a layer of soil, sprinkle on top. You can be nice and organized. Do it in single rows if you want. I don't. I just sprinkle them on top. And then either just sprinkle soil over top of them. You can just use a fork and fork them in nice and easy just so that they're covered with the soil. Don't see any seeds. They don't have to be deep. You don't have to, you know, be organized with them. They're just so easy. You can get your kids to do them if you've got kids. And put them in the windowsill. I just put them on my kitchen counter so they get a little bit of sunlight. Fortunately, I have lots of kitchen counters, so that works real easy. But if you don't, put them in windowsills or wherever you just, they don't need a lot. Just a little. Even a grow light. Probably, I don't know if a grow light would be too strong for them or not because they really don't need a lot of light. I have another sprinkling can. It has tiny little holes. Actually, it's a spice container that has the little holes for spices. I use those to just water them so they just get a very, very light sprinkling of water. And voila. We'll just go through a few of them. I've got basil. Basil takes about 10 days. If you pull up this chart from Nicole's newsforthesoul.com, go into Dr. Holly and go into the archives. It probably shows up for today, I would think, because I just sent it to her, so you can pull it up real easy. So I have what the different microgreens are, what you can use them for, and how long they take. So we'll just go over that real fast. Basil, I use it in tomatoes and salads and pastas. It takes about 10 days. Beetroot, I use predominantly in salads. It takes about 10 days. Coriander, noodle soup, stir fries, curry, salads, about 14 days. Now, coriander, remember, is usually we actually, I put coriander there because you're using the seed, but the floral component of it is, can't think what it's called. Oh, yeah. Starts with C as well. Just drawing a blank there. I love it. Coriander is, I'll come back to it. The seed is called different than what the plant is called. So there's two names that you use. I can't believe I can't think of this. I've been growing it for years and years and years. Broccoli. Salads, omelets, and soups take 7 days. Fennel, fish, pasta, risotto, 10 days. Mustard, salads, stir fries, 10 days, radish. I actually use a lot of radish in sandwiches and stir fries, about 7 to 7 days. Spinach you can use in salads, risotto, omelets. Now, those ones I've given you are just the most predominant ones I use them for. Be creative. Use them in your smoothies. Use them wherever. Cilantro, that's the word I'm looking for. Coriander is the seed. Cilantro is the leafy component of it. I can't believe I couldn't think of that. That's funny. I must be getting older, having a brain fart, a senior's moment. That's what you call them. Okay. So, again, you can, whatever type of container you want, just make sure you're not wasting a lot of soil because they only need about an inch worth of soil. The days, again, it's going to depend on the season. It's going to depend on the sunlight and the amount of water. But I've given you the approximate number of days for each. Now, once they've grown to about an inch to 2 inches, that's when you can start harvesting. You can let them grow longer if you want. Some of them I'll let grow up to like 6 inches, and then I harvest them. And you can let them regrow 2, 3. Sometimes you can even get 4 times out of them. And they're great. If you want to harvest them all together, put them in a little baggie in the fridge. I just harvest them as I need them. I'm not selling them. Some people like to sell them or give them away. I would wrap them in a damp paper towel and put them in a plastic bag in the fridge if you were going to do that. But, you can let them grow 2 to 6 inches high. You chop off what you need. Leave about a quarter of an inch, half an inch at the bottom, and they'll regrow again. And by the time, like I said, they've done 3 or 4 times, the seed is finished. Now, you can let some actually grow into a plant, whereby you take it and plant it into a proper seed plant, a pot, seeding pot, plant pot, and let it develop into a full heart. But they claim 10 times more nutrient when you're growing these microgreens, and of course you can grow them all winter long. They're full of minerals and vitamins and antioxidants and polyphenols and just all kinds of really, really good stuff. Okay? So that's the gardening component for today. And we will move into, here we go, back. we spent so much time on COVID this year. It's been unbelievable. So the article that I started out writing is not entirely all about that, but it was about death and vaccines. Now, one of the reasons I decided to do this was because there are so many articles from around the world of so many people dying and having adverse events from these vaccinations. So I wanted you to be very careful, but I thought, we've got maybe new people coming on. Let's start with some basic concepts and definitions, etc. What is a coronavirus? Well, depending on the literature, there's 7 to 8 strains that have lived within us for eons. Some particular strains are definitely more natural to some species than another and can cross over. However, recognize that the coronaviruses, the influenzas, and the retroviruses all cause flu-like symptoms. There's a multitude of them that are going around every year. They've been in the medical textbooks since 1932. The stats are always the same. The number of fatalities worldwide from your seasonal flus are between 92 and 98%. Affect people predominantly, 92 to 98% of the fatalities are people that over the age of 70 that have usually 2 or more pre-existing conditions. So when they say the coronavirus is not the influenza, well, they're right. Still causing the flu symptoms. Typically, we have influenza A and B. So I'll just give you off the side. It's not in the article, but there was a study done in Southern California, 1,500 people that have both tested COVID positive, and we'll get into all that, and they also had all the flu symptoms. Except when they tested them in the university laboratory, 70% came out with influenza A, 30% with influenza B, approximating, and no COVID. So the group took the batch of tests, and a total of 7 different university laboratories, medical laboratories, all came up with the exact same information. No COVID. So they went to the U.S. CDC and asked for a sample. The CDC didn't even have a sample. So keep that in mind. Does it cause similar reactions? Yeah, all the flu viruses cause similar reactions. Do viruses continue to mutate? Well, they all mutate. We've said this many times. Some will mutate even within 15 minutes. Usually take days or weeks, some take months. And that's why the flu vaccine for last year is so ridiculous for this year, because the viruses have all mutated umpteen times before you've got the one next year. Okay. No, they still have not identified the animal that this was supposedly originated from, so there's a lot of question and angst over that. Vaccinations have been shown not to protect you from the COVID-19, nor help you if you have the COVID virus, supposedly. Well, there are more and more people around the world who are saying there isn't even such a thing as COVID-19. Get real, people. So, and we'll get into that. Just know, though, however, that of your DNA, what makes you who you are in terms of your physical makeup, 48% is viral driven. So what I want you to keep in mind was, remember they thought antibiotics was the be-all and end-all for Western medicine, and then they found out, holy cow, we're not only killing all the bad guys, but we're killing the over 35,000 good guy, types of good guys in your gut, and you have just your gut alone. You've heard this many times, I'm sure. You have 10 times more bacteria in your gut than you have cells in your entire body. And they do a huge number of things for you, creating all kinds of enzymes, coenzymes, neurotransmitters, vitamins, just a whole host of stuff that those wonderful creatures do for us. Thankfully, we have them. And yet the antibiotics kill everybody, all the good stuff and all the bad stuff. Okay. Now, oh my, we have to get something, a vaccination for your virus. Well, recognize if there was a COVID-19, it's not only killing good stuff, it's killing bad stuff. And not only killing bad stuff, it's killing good stuff. I should have said that the other way around. The challenge is the media and the politicians have hugely distorted the information, provided an immense amount of misleading information, and eliminated a tremendous amount of important information. Why? 90% of your media worldwide infiltrated with the CCP that we know is being not good. Although apparently there's two components to the CCP, but we won't go there today. But even distorted medical definitions, people have distorted medical definitions from the WHO. It's amazing what they've done. It's like, this is unbelievable. But we've been telling you that for almost a year now. Okay. When it comes to reporting, we've told you, explain how hospitals and physicians not only have been given false information, they've been told to report the COVID differently than any other diagnosis. It's unreal. Thus making the numbers scary to the unaware general public. There's all kinds of physician groups around the world, not only just the scientists, there's over 70,000 scientists, but there's huge physician groups around the world that are standing up and saying, this is ridiculous. This isn't what's happening. If a person has died from a heart attack or from being hit by a bus or from any other, from cancer, whatever, but they have been tested for COVID even in the last 5 minutes, it will have on their death certificate that they died from COVID. Well, we know that the article that was taken down from the CDC back in early September, when they had done a private behind-the-screens kind of analysis, less than 6% of those claimed to have died from COVID actually did. The rest died with COVID. Not the primary cause, just happened to have it. Well, we happen to have all kinds of coronaviruses and retroviruses and influenza viruses in us all the time. And just hopefully we have a good, strong immune system that knows how to fight it all the time. The other big thing that we have to recognize is correlation does not mean causation. Okay, what woke you up in the morning? It could have been a bad dream. It could have been your alarm clock. It could have been your kids. It could have been that you just got enough sleep in the morning, but it is probably well correlated with the sun coming out. Sun didn't cause it, but is highly correlated with it. That's the difference. Okay, that's a real simplistic difference. And that's a huge problem throughout medical sciences. drawing conclusions indicative of a causation when in fact it was a correlation. Okay, now we also go into testing for COVID with the PCR testing. So again, I'm just going to run through a number of things that we've talked about many times, but just to summarize them, the PCR testing cannot differentiate between live and dead of RNA. So you could have had an RNA strand in here from, I'm seeing different things actually have the same strand because it's only taking about 26 RNA units as opposed to 3,000. And in fact, the RNA strands that they used in the PCR testing were taken from a gene bank. Again, the PCR testing is meant for diagnoses, not for research. It should be used with CTs or cycles that are below 17 or below. What they're using is 35 and 40, which is nuts. Determination of quality control requirements were totally shelved because this was claimed to be an emergency. So there's no reliability studies, no validity studies. No specificity studies were done before this PCR testing started to be used. Well, now, of course, at this point, we've got lots of those all saying, hold on a minute, this doesn't make any sense. The unreliabilities of tests that have been repeatedly issued to the WHO have been dismissed, either that or they're posted one day and taken down the next day. Of those tested positive with COVID numbers, I remember it can be dead strands of RNA, which most of us have. So the numbers don't make any sense. That's why we're getting like 90% false positives. You'll get to a part at the end that's really funny about that. If a person goes into a hospital, we've said this many times, and say you're in the hospital for 3 days and you're tested every morning and every night. So by the end of 3 days, you've got three tests. Well, that's not three tests for one person. They're actually counting that as six. To be freaking kidding, people. Come on. Why? Well, they need to get the numbers up. They want to scare people. They want to get this vaccination going. We'll get to that. Actually, I love this one case where studies were done. It was an Italian Ministry of Health reported that 96% of the COVID-10 hospital deaths had been patients with at least one severe underlying illness, and 50% had three or more. It wasn't the COVID, but the numbers skyrocketed. We also have to remember, I didn't put all this kind of stuff in there, but remember we've talked about the place in Italy, and I'm trying to think of the name off top another moment here, that has such high numbers, has one of the highest concentrations of seniors, not just in Italy, but across Europe. And supposedly, claimed by others, I haven't researched that part, but around the world. I know Italy and Europe. I don't know around the world. Okay, so just as a side note, over 50 years ago, they knew that there were a high frequency of lung embolisms in patients who died from influenza when they did the autopsies on them. So this is nothing new. Oh, my goodness, but they all have lung clots, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's been normal. It's been established for 50 years. Why are you making it a big deal now? Just nuts. Okay, what do I have here? Oh, that's the reference. I've given you little references throughout here if you want to go read them. this one that they did on the lung embolisms, it's actually written in German. Now, I do have a program that converts languages for me. So just know I put it in there because it was a really good article, but it is in German. So you might need to download a converter if you don't have one. Okay, again, we've said so many times, they've been showing upwards. I mean, some have even higher than 90% false positives, but this was a fun one I thought you might enjoy. In China, three different ice creams were tested positive. It was chocolate, strawberry, it wasn't vanilla, it was something else. Goats and papayas in Tanzania tested positive. Oh, my goodness. So, just know. There's nothing to differentiate it from being active versus being dead. And on top of that, we have more and more programs coming out, studies coming out, saying there isn't any COVID-19. Number one, COVID, just know that, COVID stands for Certification of Vaccination Identification. It was all about the vaccination. There is no coronavirus. And, of course, there's all the talk about it being to set us up for this great reset. And, of course, many believe that Trump has a counter-reset to the great reset. So you have to just, whatever you happen to believe, do your research, come up with your own beliefs. But understand that the Robert Koch Institute in Germany, which is considered the gold measure of medical scientific research, put out 250,000 francs for anyone who could prove that there was a COVID-19. It's still sitting there. Nobody's been able to prove it. Second to that, I have found two other institutes. One gave 100,000 and the other one gave 150,000 for anyone that could prove that COVID-19 actually exists. And both of those are still sitting there. So you might want to question, is it even there? Okay, so let's go over a few more concepts. Correlation is not causation. We've already focused on that a little bit. I gave you the real brief, simplistic example about the sun waking up in the morning. That tends to be a correlation. Of course, it's not a correlation for somebody who works night shift, right? But it is correlation for those that don't. Diagnosis and reporting protocols for COVID-19, although they all seem to be incredibly warped, they are different around the world. Studies looking at diagnosis rates and fatality rates have been repeatedly ignored by the media and by WHO. Study after study have confirmed that the media numbers are way out of proportion to what is actually happening. And why? Again, because you're hit by a bus, you go into the hospital, and you die, and it's because you've got COVID. No, it's because you were hit by a bus, for crying out loud. And this, of course, because there's so many studies now, so much research, so much, and of course, all of the studies and research, et cetera, they go out on Twitter, they go out on Facebook, they go out on Google, they go out on the WHO, and they're guaranteed to go down the next day. And this is just nuts. The crap research, the false research, gets promoted. Why? To create this fear pandemic. So, consequently, a term came out a few months ago that this is not a pandemic. It's never been a pandemic. It didn't even reach pandemic numbers, but it was a plandemic. It was previously planned in advance, and it's been in the planning for a long time. There's been all kinds of research done for it, about it, with regard to it, with regard to the PCR testing, with regard to the vaccination, et cetera, et cetera. Understand that, okay? More and more research that supports that the vaccination against any seasonal flu is ineffective and can be even counterproductive, i.e., in a couple of years, if you get that virus, you'll be set up to have even a worse reaction than you would have without the vaccination. Now, there's more and more research coming out around the world, people standing up and saying, hold on a minute, we're not being bought off, we're not going against real science. This is the real science. Wake up, people. Okay, so we need to look at that. Now, Dr. Ayo Dinesis, I often refer to him. He's awesome. He actually... probably one of the best challengers around the world when it comes to medical research. He looks and studies all the different types of flaws in medical research, why it is so debunked, why it is so ineffective, why it is so corrupt. And he puts out parameters on this is what we need to do to create a good, healthy science as opposed to a science that's gone to the dark side. So I always love his work. I always watch it. You might want to pull it up yourself. And he, like I have said, along with an increasing number of scientists and physicians around the world are saying that the COVID-19 fatalities are no different than the annual seasonal flu deaths already have, that we've got recorded every year. In fact, some years are even higher than what we have this year, and we didn't do anything about it. So why are we doing this? So I did give you a reference for that. Now, I've had some people, when I've given these kinds of articles and presentations and taught in different places, and they said, well, Holly, Why are the numbers so high? And in particular, why New York? Well, there's a number of reasons why New York was so high. Most of them were illegal immigrants. They didn't have residence permits. They didn't have jobs. They didn't have health insurance. And this was the group with the highest number of mortality rates, right? Now, you take those conditions, those situations, they've also got a poor immune system. They've got poor diet. They've got poor everything going against them. In addition to which, we still have the high number of seniors. And we also had the mayor of New York who sent the few that had the COVID-19 supposedly back to the seniors' homes that infected everybody else. And we already know seniors over the age of 70 with at least two pre-existing conditions are more susceptible than other people. So between the illegal immigrants that were in an unfortunate position and the seniors that were also in an unfortunate position, we have a tremendous number of people that are at high risk. Know that. Now, there's an additional component with these immigrants. The immigrants are predominantly from Mexico, and they have Hispanic people carry a gene that makes them particularly susceptible to the chloroquine. So when the chloroquine is given to them, the hydrochloroquine, which is very, very effective for most Europeans, but when given to Hispanic people, they have an intolerance for it that can be lethal. And that was an additional factor, a huge factor that raised the numbers in New York. Okay, so let's move on. Let's look at some real studies. 8,000 patients with respiratory diseases were grouped with either having the SARS-CoV or an everyday coronavirus. There was the same number of fatalities in each group. One might question that. Well, how did they know they had the COVID-19 if there is no such COVID-19? Well, like I said, the PCR testing is 80-90% false positive, so even ice cream has it. Too funny. There was a subsequent, and I've given you the reference for that, a subsequent study, mortality in patients with respiratory viruses that died annually between the year 2018-2019 compared to 2019-2020. It was the same number. Dolly G was, gave you the reference for that. So because of studies like this, and like I say, there's a ton of them. I just give you a few. I know you're not going to go through and look at 30, 40 references that I give you. The conclusion from physicians and scientists around the world is that this COVID-19 or SARS-CoV coronavirus 02 did not affect the overall mortality in patients diagnosed with respiratory disease. Golly gee whiz, I wonder why. All right, so let's move on from that. Your ability to protect yourself. I don't care whether you think you're healthy or you know you're unhealthy, whether you have stage 4 cancer, whatever the issue might be, you want to protect your immune system. We have said that over and over and over again. Your immune system not only protects you from all the fungus and the yeast and the bacteria and the viruses and the protozoans and all the rest of the stuff that you find in your food, your gut has to protect you from that. From the hydrochloric acid in your stomach all the way down throughout the rectum. So you, and most of our immune system is in the gut for that reason. So you want your immune system in your gut to be healthy. When it's healthy in your gut, you can pretty much expect that it's going to be healthy throughout the entire body. So how do we help support that gut? Well, one of the things we know, we've heard this 1,000 times, is your probiotic foods. Your pickled and fermented foods, your yogurts without additional sugar. Now, yogurt naturally is going to have a sugar in it because milk has lactose. That's a sugar in it. But you don't want the added sugars, and you certainly don't want the added fruits, most of which aren't even real fruit anyways. Having it with vanilla is okay, but not with the fruit. So then we want, in addition to those kinds of foods, we want your cabbage and your kefir and your kimchi and your kombucha. All those great probiotic foods. Now, your probiotic bacteria need to thrive. They need to get down to where they should be in the intestines. So you want them to be fed and transported. And what is that? That's your prebiotic or your fiber foods. Okay, so a really great way, raw carrots, raw cabbage, and Granny Smith apples. Now, recognize that Granny Smith apples are on a continuum, or apples, I should say, are on a continuum. So apples are really great if they are the hard tarts, your fuchsias and your ambrosias and all those sweet, soft apples. They're not going to have the fiber, they're not going to have the nutrient, and they're going to have a whole lot more sugar in them. So you want your really hard, tart apples. I would say a Granny Smith apple is probably the best apple you can have. Spartans are good at that end too, but Granny Smiths are probably the best. Now, in addition to those types of things, the fiber is going to feed and transport your bacteria. In addition to that, we have wonderful herbs that we can just fill our diets full of. Your garlic, your onion, turmeric, and ginger are all great. It's interesting because garlic and onion belong in one category, and ginger and turmeric certainly belong in another family of spices. But those are phenomenal to support your immune system. In fact, ginger prevents a lot of viruses from getting into the cell. You have what's called TLRs, and they hook onto the spike protein on the virus, hooks onto the TLR on the cell, and ginger prevents that. Hooking on, there's actually 10 different types. It's predominantly TLR2 and 4. But ginger prevents that. And if the virus is in the cell, ginger is fantastic at preventing that virus from replicating if it's in the cell. So those are really important foods to eat. We know that garlic and onion and turmeric are just really good for the immune system anyways. So you want to be taking those things. Supplements like vitamin D3, your zinc, your transfer factor are all fantastic for your gut health. We know that. If you need, supplement it. Now, what I have given you after this is a whole bunch of individual references about vaccinations, okay, and whether or not you're going to need the vaccination. So the first one was Health Impact News. Doctors around the world issue dire warning in capital letters. Do not get the experimental COVID vaccine. Read the article. Dr. Andrew Kaufman, you've heard me talk about him many times. Actually, I've got a spelling mistake there. Doctors around the world reject COVID and vaccine. Read the article. Sons of Liberty. About the chloride dioxide documentary. Actually, that's more about taking the chloride dioxide, which works really well. But they also have in the article the number of deaths in the UK and the pushback against the vaccine and the lockdown. The Real News Channel, doctors around the world issue dire warning. Do not get the COVID vaccine if you value, I put Heath, it should be health. The article for that. Sweden InfoWars, COVID vaccine, it's a warning. You might want to read that one. LifeSite News, 271 deaths and 9,845 adverse effects after COVID vaccination so far. That's from the CDC in the U.S. only. There's places where the death count from the vaccine is higher than the ratio death count for, not the, it's not the count, it's the ratio, is higher than the flu itself, supposedly, the flu that we supposedly have. So that's another, I can put that one in there, I just thought of that. Anyways, New York Post put in 23 deaths in Norway after receiving the Pfizer COVID vaccine. J.D. Karnkross, COVID vaccine ingredients. He goes into that, which we've done many, many times. Now, I'll give you the three major components. The hydrogel, which can go under your skin and act like little AI robots. You've got the Lucifer AIDS. Interesting that they called it Lucifer. Pretty predominant term. Lucifer AIDS enzyme. And the RNA strand is not even an actual virus strand. It's a GMO, RNA. So we know what GMO, genetically modified organisms, that what it does to our food. The food can't replace itself. It can't regrow. The seeds don't regrow after 2-3 years. It destroys the food. It destroys our health. It destroys our immune system. And yet they're making this RNA that they're putting in the vaccination is also a GMO. Come on, that. Really? Okay, so how many of you have heard, just off the top of my head, how many of you have heard about Gates and his father and really being into eugenics along with an umpteen others right now? Yeah, they're wanting to kill us. Okay, we get that. So my bottom line with all of this is do your research. I give you references to start from. I've given you lists of places to start your research from. Do good research, not the false fake media out there. And it's funny because both sides, you're calling both sides fake news. It's hilarious. But, I mean, we know how the CDC, the NBC, the ABC, et cetera, how they're all compromised. I mean, it's been proven over and over again they're so compromised. So do your real research. Get in there and read stuff that resonates with you. Come to your own conclusions with stuff that resonates with you. And after you, I never stop doing research. I do research all the time. I don't think a day goes by I'm not doing some sort of research with regard to something. But in addition to doing all the research, eat healthy, think healthy, and exercise healthy. If you have healthy, good thoughts, that supports your whole energetic beingness. Inside and around the body, every cell of the body benefits when you're in a positive, healthy, constructive, effective mindset. We know every thought is an energy pattern, and that impacts your whole physical well-being, never mind your psychological well-being. A healthy diet. We know that the gut can impact on your thoughts, your emotions, and your behavior, so you really want to have a good, healthy diet, which is why we're always supporting grow your own food to the extent that you can, even if it's just in a windowsill. There's all kinds of stuff you can grow to make sure your body's getting good, healthy nutrients. And move. We are designed to move. So, yes, I spend a tremendous amount of time in front of my computer doing research, writing books with my clients, sitting down. So I'm always making sure I get up and do the stretching, do the yoga, do whatever, so that my body is in a moving state. You do not want a pond that goes stagnant any more than you want a waterfall where you're constantly moving. Your body needs the balance. Find that balance for you. So when you think well, you eat well, you be well, you're going to be well. Right? It's just logic, right? 99% of us, that works for. A lot of articles on there. You can go to a lot of references on the article. You can go to the article if you would like. Nicole has it on newsforthesoul.com. Just go to Dr. Holly for other articles and you will find everything there. She archives everything. She does a phenomenal amount of work. We are so thankful for all the work that she does. We send out a blessing and a thank you and gratitude to her for what she does. She also has a lot of challenges because her system is challenged quite a bit, believe me. And she frequently has to go away above and beyond the call of duty in order to keep everything running smoothly, which is why sometimes we come on late. And that's the way it is, and we have to deal with it. Okay, so let's look at some questions. Anne in California. I'm having a tough time dealing with stress. I don't want to use drugs or alcohol or prescriptions. What can I do? Well, one thing that we know with stress is your adrenal glands are your regulators of stress, right? They tell the body what to do in times of stress, and we need to help them recuperate. And when stress goes on for a prolonged period of time, we get hyperadrenal activity, or we can go into adrenal fatigue. Now, if we're looking at supplements, look at your real vitamin C. Vitamin C, it has the highest concentration in your eyes and the second highest concentration in your adrenal glands. So you want to support your adrenal glands. And, of course, one of the most detrimental things for your adrenal glands is sugar. I can put the vitamin C. Red peppers are great for vitamin C. Oranges are not. It used to be thought that oranges were great. They used to be, probably. But right now, the commercial soils are so depleted in magnesium that the orange plants cannot get enough magnesium to make vitamin C. So most of them are actually deficient if they have any vitamin C at all. The other thing we've talked about, strengthen your gut and your immune system. We know that your gut, the bacteria in your gut, can affect your thoughts, your emotions, and your behavior. So again, your pre and probiotics, your transfer factor, phenomenal component for the immune system. Your vitamin D, get it through the sun if possible, if not foods that eat it or take supplements. And your zinc. So those are incredibly important. Stop listening to the fake news, the ABC, the CNN, the NBC, etc. We're crying out loud. Fox keeps going every which way but loose, and we don't know where Fox stands on a given day. That might be more appropriate to some of their broadcasters than others, I'm not sure. But listen to the real news. You know, there's a whole list now of alternative sites you can go to on your web, from Rumble to, man, I have a list of about 15 that I look at, as well as going for your global research and programs that, you know, deal specifically, if you want, with medical issues. I have a whole list of those as well. I have another whole list that I go to when it comes to political and deep state and all the crap hole that's going on worldwide right now. So listen to real stuff. But next, do meditative exercises. I used to teach a different type of meditation every Friday night. I did that for 3 years. Use meditation. I don't care what kind of meditation, but calm the mind. Breathe well. Slow the system down. Get out of all the chaos and all the anxiety, the paranoia, all the crapola, and just clean your mind. And, of course, like we just said, start doing various types of yoga exercises or stretching exercises or Tai Chi or whatever to get the body moving. So notice what we've done there. We've looked at your diet. We've looked at your mental processes, and we've looked at your physical processes. That makes up who you are. That has a huge impact on your energy, and the energy of the people around you will have an impact on you as well. So that's where we come from. That's the starting basis. Okay? Bailey in Arizona. I'm suddenly feeling exhausted by 2 p.m. every day. I have not changed my food intake or anything else. So what could cause this? Well, number one, stress. Stress, and we don't just have our own internal stress. This is what I was just mentioning, but the energy of people around us. If you're living in a home, especially if you're in a lockdown situation, and everybody is stressed out and scared or paranoid or worrying or frightened or what have you, that is going to drain your energy like nobody's business. Get away from it as much as you can. Help them to get away from their stress and anxiety. Okay? That feeds into, if you want, corruption around the world on whatever level you want to think about it. It depletes the physical body. It causes adrenal fatigue. You might also look at glutathione deficiency. You might look at B12 or iron deficiencies, mitochondrial dysfunction. Those are things, glutathione and mitochondrial dysfunction, I look at in virtually everybody that comes in. I'm looking at your gut, but at a cellular level, I'm looking at your glutathione and your mitochondria. Okay, those are hugely important to every cell of your body. When we're looking at the gut, we can look at not only the mucosal membrane, is it absorbing, is the pH right, are the enzymes healthy, do you have gut symbiosis, the MMC, is that working properly, the migrating motor complex, do you have heavy metal toxicity? All of these things could be going on, or any combination of them. And they might have been going on long before this whole last stretch with COVID, whether it's there or not. It might have just provoked enough stress or anxiety, which, of course, also, if depending on your job situation, might affect your finances, and just brought all these different things to a peak, the perfect storm, so to speak, so that you're starting to have symptoms. Okay? So, rarely ever one cause and rarely ever just started. The line about that. Okay, let's move on to Mike in Connecticut. What can I do to improve sleep patterns? It's taking hours to fall asleep. Well, number one, well, that can have to do with your mind. If your mind is overactive, if you're thinking through everything, if you're worried about everything. I have a very active dream life. I can wake up every morning. Tom and I used to have this session every morning where we talked about our dreams. We actually tried to meet in our dreams for years, just as friends. We would meet, well, I managed only to do it like 3 times, I think. But to meet in our dreams was a fun thing to do. But if you have active dreams, you might want to get involved in your dreams, not just passively have them. So getting involved in your dreams, I mean by that is when you go to sleep, keep a thought in your mind that when I am dreaming, I will know I am dreaming. And that way, once you're in the dreams, you can organize, orchestrate, maneuver, resolve, do all kinds of wonderful things in your dreams. Okay, there's lots of different theories about dreams. Whether you're on this side, whether you go to the other side, whether your brain is just getting cleaned out, their old memories getting resolved, there's a ton of different things I think we can be doing during our dream life, just as we can be doing a ton of different things during our waking life. I spend an awful lot of time working with people around the world to help solve world problems. I'm always working at trying to make people healthy. I work so much. Tom and I do an awful lot of work in my dreams, helping people prepare for ascension. I'm always working in my dreams. But sometimes I actually go out and I'll put in my mind, okay, Tom, tonight let's go dancing. I want to go dancing and have some fun. I'm fed up working every night in my dreams. And we end up going dancing and having fun. So one of the things is preparing your mind for sleep. Now, for some people, that's really hard, and there's two things that you can make the shift. One is if you're short in GABA. GABA helps the mind and muscles to calm down, and it helps you to transfer into sleep. It also helps you to transfer out of sleep. Another thing that you could be doing is before you go to sleep, have a cold shower. Now, you don't want to provoke a heart attack, especially if you're an older person. So what you want to do is have your regular shower, but as you're coming out of the shower, get it cooler and cooler and cooler. The cold water actually eliminates the positive ions in your physical atmosphere and allows a balance of the negative ones, which helps you to go to sleep. Another thing you could be doing is drinking teas like chamomile, lavender, valeriana, hops, passiflora, or passion flower, ashwagandha, holy basil, ginseng, St. John's wort. They all help people calm down and go to sleep, some more so than others, depending on the person. Valeriana is one I always tell people be careful with, like lavender, because some people it will have the opposite effect. To give you an example for lavender, if I smell lavender, which I don't even like the smell of, although most people do, it makes me agitated and keeps me awake at night. So there's no way I'll take lavender to go to sleep. 80% of the population it works great for. Okay, so just be careful if you're working with it. Test it out. See if it works for you or against you. Along with the teas, of course, we have the essential oils. And again, lavender, chamomile, passiflora, they all work great in essential oils to help people to sleep at night. If you're going to a naturopath or a herbalist or a doctor of natural medicine, all these different people will be able to help you with different protocols as well that can help you go to sleep if those basic things don't help. Okay? Let's go into the next one. Jessica in Detroit. Let's see what Jessica has to say. Is there something that can help thinning hair go back to normal? Well, Jessica, number one, we have done several programs on hair and hair growth, thinning, coloring, etc. So you might want to go back into the archives and look at all the different programs where we've done in-depth articles on hair. Okay? So just to off the top, it really depends on what's going on. So, number one, you could be doing way too much hair coloring, styling, shampooing, etc. Most of our shampoos are very toxic and conditioners are toxic as well. You only need to wash your hair theoretically once a week. Some people will even say once every 2 weeks. If you're washing it daily like they market you to do, you could be doing damage not only to the hair oils, but also to the bacteria that's required to support them. So that could be an issue. The hair follicles themselves could be inflamed or infected. That might be an issue. You could have hormonal changes will cause hair issues. So if you're stopping, starting, switching birth control pills, that can have an effect. Pregnancy can have an effect. Certainly menopause can have an effect. Look at that maybe first. nutrient deficiencies, proteins, which you could get all your amino acids in hemp oil, in a good, healthy hemp oil. It could also be iron deficiency. Iron deficiency could be in kale. Some of your B vitamins, B5, 6, and 7 particularly, are utilized with your hair follicles, so you might want to look at foods that are high in B vitamin nutrients. But you can also get too much of a nutrient, and the one I can think of off the top of my head is vitamin A. If you get too much vitamin A, that can actually cause hair loss. Other things, more systemic things, if you like, are adrenal fatigue and hypothyroid. And we've talked hypothyroid. We've talked many times on how your adrenals can affect your liver affecting the conversion of your thyroid hormones, your T4 to your T3. So typically, when you're diagnosed with hypothyroid, you put on Synthroid. We can tell you that even the WHO has said that 80% of the people in North America that are put on Synthroid shouldn't be on Synthroid because it's not a thyroid issue. It has to do with the adrenals and or the liver. So those all can be an issue with hair loss. Your hair follicles do need the T3. And the conversion of T4 to T3 does happen in the liver. Autoimmune disorders can cause hair loss. And in particular, I think the most commonly recognized one is lupus. So either lupus or the treatment for lupus, the pharmaceutical treatment for lupus, can cause hair loss. If you've lost weight too quickly, either with intent or by trauma or by disease, you can have hair loss. Chemotherapy, we all know, causes hair loss, but other medications can cause hair loss as well. For instance, blood thinners, medications like your beta blockers for high blood pressure, lithium for bipolars, NSAIDs, over-the-counter NSAIDs as well, that are used as anti-inflammatories, several of your antidepressants. I'm trying to think, the drug is methotrexate that's used for a number of different rheumatic conditions. Anabolic steroids that are used for muscle building. There's probably all kinds of others, but those are the primary ones off the top of my head that I can think of. They all are known for causing hair loss. In addition, aging in and of itself, typically between the ages of 60 and 70, is known for hair loss, and more so being recognized in women. Historically, it was known in men, and of course, there are three different genetic profiles in men that can cause hair loss and different types of hair loss, but they're also in women. Now, one of the big reasons is a loss of omega-3s, not getting good, healthy omega-3s, and a really easy way to accommodate for that is to get those avocados into your diet. Avocados have the same ratio of omega-3, 6, and 9, your anti-inflammatories, pro-inflammatories, and your regulating inflammatories in your body. The same ratio is found, or almost the same ratio, is found in avocados that are also loaded with fiber and nutrients and glutathione and just all kinds of wonderful good stuff. So even just having half an avocado a day and or rubbing a combination of avocado oil and coconut oil into your scalp at night. Now, the reason I suggest people to do the two oils is because the avocado oil has the ratio of omega-3, 6, 9, like we just said, issue. So if your hair follicles are inflamed, that oil will help the inflammation. Coconut oil, on the other hand, as it doesn't have the long-chain fatty acids. It has medium-chain fatty acids, which do work still. But more importantly, it has lauric acid. Lauric acid is found in very few foods around the world, and it is a great antimicrobial. So if your hair follicles have an infection in them, the coconut oil will help the infection. So you got the inflammation and the infection with those two oils. Rub them into the scalp at night. Put a shower cap over your head and then, of course, wash it out in the morning. If you do that every night for a couple of weeks, some people have found tremendous hair growth back from that. But again, like I say, with most issues, it all depends on what's causing the problem in the first place. Okay? Obviously, the coconut oil and avocado oil aren't going to do much good if what's really causing the problem is your medication or adrenal fatigue. So again, recognize we have a number of different issues and we have different protocols to address the underlying issue as opposed to just managing symptoms like your pharmaceutical drugs do. Okay? So we've got 12:56. That's the end for today. We did it just on time. Aren't we terrific? For all the articles, you can go to newsforthesoul.com, go under Dr. Holly. They are all archived, in addition to which you can go to choicesunlimited.ca. I have over 900 articles on that website. You can go to my book site from there. You can go to other radio programs from there. You can't go to the TV programs I've done. But you can also go to the YouTube channel. There's about 48 videos, 1 and 2 minute videos on the YouTube channel. There's just a ton of information. There's several different videos on depression, what causes depression in your body. There is a lot of information to take advantage of. The books can all be downloaded. Some are, depending on what you're using, $3, $4, and you're getting a tremendous amount of information that can help. So please make use of that information. Please think well, eat well, act well, be well. We want to see you all healthy and well next week, next Wednesday. We will talk with you then. Take good care. Bye-bye now.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.